Today, being the 24th day of August 2025, we are looking at lesson number 8 today. And you know what we want to entitle this lesson? Give God the glory. Amen. Give God the glory. And I want us to look at the lesson today. Nehemiah chapter number 6. We've got basically 5 verses here we're going to look at. Nehemiah chapter number 6. I want us to look at this lesson today. All the things that's gone on with Nehemiah. My goodness. They have now successfully rebuilt the walls of the city. They've redone all the gates, the walls, everything is done. Done it in a record time, 52 days. They have endured persecution. They have endured opposition of every sort, from within and from without. And God blessed this man, Nehemiah, to help, to guide the people, to strengthen them, to point them in the right direction. And I want you to think about this. All of these protective walls going around the city, all the things that they did, they look back at this thing and they just had to stop and say, to God be the glory. And you know what? Today, I had several folks coming to me from Thursday night soul winning. We had folks that went out soul winning, and we had some folks that went out and did visits, and they didn't have anybody that they got to talk to tell anybody about the Lord. Then all of a sudden, somebody comes over and they start talking to them, and they lead that person to Christ. Divine appointments. I mean, man, God has just been good, and we need to give God all the glory. But I want us to look at the lesson today. I've got just a few minutes left here, and I want to give you this today. Number one, in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15, I want you to see how the builders complete the wall. They built this wall. Now, they did this at a remarkable time of the year. It wasn't winter, but it wasn't spring either. It was hot. And Nehemiah said here in verse 15, Nehemiah chapter 6, first part of verse 15, he said, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul. And that 25th day of the month of Elul would have placed the completion date somewhere around the 3rd of September. The 3rd of September, a hot, muggy time of the year. They had worked in the hot sun, but remember that this would have been the time of the year when the days were not just the hottest days, but they were the longest days as well. Long days, long hours working at this. And now, perhaps maybe with a sigh of relief, all right, they look at all this stuff, and with a grateful heart, Nehemiah wrote here, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul. But then I want you to notice, too, it wasn't just a remarkable time of the year, but it was a remarkable length of time. Look at the second part of that verse, verse 15. He said, in 52 days. Now, I don't know how long they're taking to put up these cardboard houses out here that they're starting at $600,000. Have you seen those new houses they're putting up? They got them on a concrete slab, and they got stuff on there, and then they got, you know, I don't know, just Tyvek paper I've seen on the outsides of it, and they cover it with vinyl. I'm thinking if I take my bow and arrow, and I can probably shoot through the walls on those things. But these guys worked on establishing, removing rubble. They took the rubble away. They brought brick in. And I'm talking about thick stuff. I mean, stuff today, it would just be a mammoth task to move around. And in 52 days, the Bible said, not including the Sabbath days that they didn't do any work, but in 52 days, all the work was finished. And Nehemiah wrote here, so the wall was finished, and it was finished in 52 days. If you go back to chapter 4, verse number 6, he reminds us here of this great task. He said, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And you know what? It is amazing to see what God can do when people do what God said do with a right heart and with the right attitude of mind. When folks go in and they say, Lord, we can't do this, but you can do a work that we can't do. And God blesses it. And what a blessing and a privilege it must have been, not only to start that work and begin the work of rebuilding the city of Jerusalem, but to say, Father, it's finished, and we're going to give you the glory for it. Amen? It's all been done. So now look at the next verse where we find how the builders glorified God. Look at this. Verse number 16. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. Don't you just love it when the devil gets upset because you're doing something for God? Amen. I love to aggravate the devil. Amen. He's an aggravating pest to me. I love to aggravate him. And look at this. For they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Now think about this just a minute. Here's a group of people that had opposed them in everything that they did. They tried to stop them and say, you're rebelling against the king. They tried to stop them and say, well, if a fox goes up on this stuff, it's going to knock the walls down. They just laughed at them and made fun of them. They mocked them. They ridiculed them. They persecuted them in every way possible. And then when they see this great work done in just 52 days, the Bible said, then they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Now, who perceived this? The enemies of God. And isn't it amazing when those folks that deny that God exists and they mock the God that we live and we serve and we love so much, and they call him all kinds of things, they use his name in vain, these are the ones that came back and said, wow, their God must be real. Their God is real. And folks, that's what the world needs to see in our lives today. Amen. Brother Buck had a man that they went to a food call, and the lady told him, it said, already been saved. I used to go to your church years ago, just got out. I've been saved. And we didn't really need the food. We just wanted some money. And we said, well, you got food. And you've got something here that will be a help to you. And there was a guy there, out there, and he had tried to kill himself when he was a younger man and just all kinds of stuff, and actually took a shotgun, 12-gauge, and held it up to himself and tried to kill himself with it. And he pulled up his shirt and showed Brother Buck and all this stuff about it. And Brother Buck said, wow. He said, man, God spared you. He said, but I don't know what he spared him for. And so Brother Buck got to go through the plan of salvation. And by the time they were done, and that young man, or he was 52 years old, 53 years old now, something like that, when that man finished up and he accepted Christ as Savior, he was in tears. He was hugging Brother Buck's neck and thanking him for coming out there and sharing with him the gospel that he had gotten saved. He said, now I know that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Man, folks, listen. The world needs to see a Savior that's real today. Amen? And the only way they can see that is in your life and in mine. And for that, we give God the glory. Amen? We give God the glory. Now, I want you to look at this. In this first part of the verse, verse 16, we see how the enemies of God and the enemies of God's people were silenced. You know what? In our world today, all we hear is the enemies of God running their mouth about everything, condemning everything. Man, they've got perverted cheerleaders now on football teams. They got little boys out there dancing around like little girls. And they got all this wickedness going on all around us and saying, we want our rights to do this and our right. And they just mock our God. But when they finished this work, they stood back in silence and said, wow, there's something real about their God. There's something different about their God. And the Bible said, and it came to pass when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. And you know, I think about that day when one day is coming, and some of you folks, I know how the devil fights you because I know how he fights me. And you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to remind us of our past all the time, does he not? Oh, man, you used to do this, and you used to do... And you know what? I told somebody today, I said, those things are covered by the blood, amen? They're in the past. Gone, gone, my sins are gone. Never be seen again. When God looks at me now, he sees the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the other things are forgotten. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day. Look at this. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10. I had to write this verse down. I long for this verse to take place. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10. John wrote here and he said, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night for how long? Forever and ever. Amen. There's coming a day, buddy, when the devil reminds you of your past, you know what I do? I remind him of his future. Amen. Buddy, he's on the losing side. I'm on the winning side. You're on the winning side today. And the devil's got nothing over on us. Man, what a day that's going to be when the devil is forever cast into the lake of fire, never allowed again to torture or torment the children of God. And he's done this since the very day of the Garden of Eden. He's done it ever since the beginning. But there's coming a day when he's going to be cast into hell to be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I just say, oh, what a day. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. That's going to be a great day. But look at the last part of that verse. We see God's blessings upon his people that are perceived by the enemies of God. You know what I think about that? One of these days, every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. And here, the Bible said in the last part of that verse, it said, for they perceived, they figured it out, they realized, they came to understand the truth that this work was wrought of our God. It wasn't the Jewish people that did the work. It was God that did the work. Amen. God did all this stuff. And I think about Psalm. Brother David, King David, wrote this in Psalm chapter 124, verse 1 through 8. Listen to this. He said, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who had not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. What a great testimony of God's faithfulness. What a great testimony for the people of God to say, listen, it wasn't us. It was God that did this. This was done by God. And folks, these people that were such enemies of the work being done, these folks that did not want to have anything to do with God or with God's people, had to stand back and say, wow, their God must be real. Their God truly is God. Amen. Think about that. And then I want you to look at section number 3, where the opposition still persisted for Nehemiah and the people of God. You know what? The devil is not one to give up very easily. Sometimes Christians give up when the first little thing goes wrong. You know, we complain about everything, don't we? Oh, Lord, it's too hot today to go out and go soul winning. Oh, Lord, it's too cold outside. It's raining, Lord. Oh, the sun's in my eyes. God, I can't do this. We can't do anything right. But it's a fact. But you know what? We see here Tobiah's friends. Now, I want you to look at verse number 17 through 19. The Bible said, moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah. And the letters of Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Arah. And his son, Johanan, had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. Wow, what a family line. Good grief. They're all connected somehow. And you know what ends up happening? Blood gets thicker than the book. And instead of doing what God says do, they do what family says do. Now, folks, I love family. I love my family. I love your family. I love each of you. But you know what? There comes a time where each of us has to realize we're going to stand accountable unto God. Whether our family likes it or whether our family doesn't. Whether our loved ones like it or whether they don't. And you know what? I would rather be right with God here so that I'm right with Him there than to be wrong with God here and I stand wrong with Him there. I'm accountable to God. And you know what? These folks, they didn't like the work being done. Now, who were these friends of Tobiah? Tobiah thought he had an advantage, okay, here, because he had friends on the inside that could discourage and dishearten the man of God. I know, folks, listen, all their whole life's goal is just to discourage folks from serving God. It just seems like that's their life's goal. I've got family like that. You know, and they call us hypocrites. And I said, well, you can still come with us. We got room for one more. I mean, that's not a problem. You know, you can sit with us. You know, sit with my wife. She's in the deaf section, okay? She can sit over there. You can sit with. We don't care. Listen, God will forgive sin if we're willing to confess that sin. But folks don't want to give up on that. They're full of pride. And you know what? Pride is what brought Satan down, cast him out of heaven. Oh, pride. And these friends of Tobiah thought that since he had convinced many of the inside leaders to follow after him, okay, that he could then overthrow all that the man of God was seeking to accomplish for God and for God's people. He thought, man, I got connections. And yet, strange as it may seem, Tobiah, the known enemy of God and of God's people here, had people on the inside that were loyal to his wicked schemes. They were loyal instead of them being loyal to the man of God who was leading them in the right way with God. They were loyal to a man that was trying to teach them to not trust God. Why do you want to go and do that? Why do you want to serve that God? You know, and they just mocked. And they persecuted. And you know what? Perhaps because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Arah, and his son, Johanan, had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. He felt like maybe he had more pull in the ministry because he was part of the family, okay? He had pull, and he could pull them away from God. And folks, there are going to be people like that. We're going to meet them everywhere you go. They're going to be there. They just pull you away, pull you away, pull you away. But you know what? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we just got to stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to go on and serve the Lord. Listen, their pagan children had intermarried with the godless people and nations surrounding them. And so what did they do? To keep mama happy, they did what? They did, and they served pagan gods. They were considered to be heathen, pagan, because they did not serve the true and living God. And because they didn't serve the true and living God, then that made the man of God the enemy to them. They counted him as an enemy. And the work that that man wanted to do for God, they counted all that as a bad thing. And according to verse 19, it would seem here that because of their friendly relationships through marriage, okay, that the priests and the nobles, they tried to convince Nehemiah that Tobiah was a good man. He's a good man. And he was really on the side of the people. Boy, it sounds like the governor of California. Good grief. What a lie. Sounds like the governor of Maryland, doesn't it? Oh, my. I may have to edit that part out or something on the lesson today, but y'all pray for that. But look at this. Verse 19. Also, what did they do? They reported his good deeds before me, Nehemiah said, and uttered my words to him. What were Nehemiah's words? We're not quitting. We're going to keep on serving God. We're going to keep on doing what God said do. We don't have time to come down and argue or discuss it. We don't have time to come down and compromise. We got a job to do for God. And they discussed these things. But we know that in the sense of him being a friend, we know that was not correct. And I want you to look here at the last part of verse number 19. We see Tobiah's attack against Nehemiah. What did he do against Nehemiah? Look at it. And Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. Boy, that sounds like a good friend, doesn't it? What a friend that would write letters, because you don't do what he says do, then I'm going to write letters to people and make you the bad guy. Now, that's what's happening in this situation. That happens in our world today, folks. We have that happening in our world today. These priests and these nobles were no doubt under the godless influence of this wicked Ammonite named Tobiah. And no doubt, this is why we read. If you go back to chapter 3, look at chapter 3, verse number 5 here just a minute. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse number 5. This is probably why the Bible says that the nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. Why? Because they were all connected to do evil. And they wanted to do that which was evil and to put the man of God in fear, to threaten him, to cause him to quit the work. Tobiah had no fear of running down the man of God. He had no fear of sowing seeds of discord. He had no fear of sowing the seeds of discontentment in the hearts and the lives of the people as they worked together to do what God said do. They had no fear of that. Well, that's a scary thing, folks. No fear. No fear of God. No fear of the retribution they're going to get for doing what they're doing. Man, that's a scary thing. And sadly, after all that Nehemiah had done to help the people rebuild their city, where the presence of God was supposed to be, where God said, my name is going to be remembered here. When God said all that, they simply pushed the man of God aside and they treated him as if he were the enemy. Boy, that was a sad thing for Nehemiah. But I want you to notice something here. The Bible said, the fact is, the disobedience of the people and the nobles to God's word allowed doubt and compromise to creep in through this continued alliance. Compromise was creeping in with the enemies of God. And we'll read in later chapters, we'll read about this, but we'll see that even the priest Eliashib had become an ally to Tobiah. He had yoked up with the enemies of God, the high priest. Folks, that ought not have been. But you know what? It ought not be that way in our world today either. But those that are supposed to stand for God are yoking up with the world for godless gain. And what are you going to get out of it? When you stand before God, what are you going to get out of that? Boy, it's going to be a sad day. I want you to go over to Nehemiah chapter 13 just a minute. I want you to see what's going to happen down the road. I want you to see what's going to happen. Nehemiah chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1. On that day, they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite, that was the ones that were fighting, that's Tobiah, And the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God for how long? Forever. Why? Because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. They hired Balaam, the prophet of God, to curse the people of God. And yet look what God did. He took a stumbling stone and made it into a stepping stone. Look at this. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass that when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. And before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of God, was allied unto Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense and the vessels and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites and the singers and the porters and the offerings of the priests. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem. For in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. And I came to Jerusalem, this is Nehemiah now, I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib did, this is the high priest, did for Tobiah in preparing him chambers in the courts of the house of God, and it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. What did he do? Everything he had in there, he tossed it out the door. He threw it out in the street. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offerings and the frankincense. And we see more and more of this today in our churches, don't we? The world is yoking up with the devil's crowd. And the devil is doing everything he can do. It reminds me of Judges chapter 17. Look at it. Judges chapter 17, verse 6. You don't have to turn there, but I'll just make a note of it. In those days, there was no king in Israel. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Boy, that's what we're seeing in our world today, folks. When there was no king in the United States, no president, no leader that wanted to do what was right, everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. And now, everybody's fussing about it because they don't like having to do right. My goodness, bless their little hearts. What a day it's going to be. People are compromising truth for continued fellowship with the devil. And they know that they're doing wrong. They do it, but they love doing it. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 said this, and I got to close, man, I'm out of time. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. God said, woe unto them. But thank God for a man called Nehemiah that would not compromise. Amen. Thank God for the people of God that chose to stand up and say, you know what? We're going to do what God said do, and to God be the glory, great things He has done. Amen. Amen. That's what we need to remember today. Give God the glory. Amen. Give Him the glory. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. All right. Father, Lord, I know I've not gone through the lesson like I planned on it, but God, time ran out and I apologize for that. But Father, I pray, God, today that the folks would get the gist of this lesson. And Lord, they would see that all the glory for all that's done when you overcome the opposition. And Lord, when you shut the mouths of the enemies of God before their very eyes and they have to stand back and say, wow, their God is real. We just owe all the glory to you. And Father, I pray, God, that you'll help us to never forget that we owe you everything. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the souls that have been saved this week. Thank you, dear God, for the opportunity to continue to do the work of God for your honor and for your glory. Bless us now, Lord, as we go into the service. I pray, God, that you'll fill our pastor with your power and help us, Lord, to go in with an empty bucket today and come out filled with blessing. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.